Our God is a loving Father. And the love feast that He brings is so extravagant that we can't comprehend it. I was moved of the Lord today to ask a question to a young man. Who delivered Jesus to the cross? Who made a decision that his firstborn son should be crucified? And after pondering and guessing, the conclusion was that the Father decided. It wasn't the enemy. It wasn't the Jews. It was because of the love of a Father for His creation that would overwhelm the love for His own firstborn. I don't know about you, but that kind of love is beyond me. I can hear the words, but to comprehend it, no. Do I ever want to taste it? No. Will I trust my Heavenly Father with the future? Yes. So whatever destiny He's planned for me was written in my spiritual DNA. And so was it written for each and every one of you. The very first word that He gave me came from Isaiah chapter 33. So I want to release this word to you. It's not a very long word. It's probably going to be out of context with what He may be doing with the balance of this service, but I want to release this word because of the strength of it. Those of you who were with us during the feast learned a little more about Zion. And in verse 20, the Lord speaks of Zion, but then He gives an incredible promise towards the end that I want to kind of quickly run through. It says, "Look upon Zion, the city of our festival," which is the feast. "Your eyes will see Jerusalem, a peaceful abode, a tent that will not be moved. Its stakes will never be pulled up, nor any of its ropes broken. There the Lord will be our mighty one. It will be like a place of broad rivers and streams. No galley with oars will ride them. No mighty ships will sail them. For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. It is He who will save us. Your rigging hangs loose. The mast is not held secure. The sail is not spread. Then an abundance of spoils will be divided, and even the lame will carry off plunder. No one living in Zion," get a load of this one, "no one living in Zion will say, 'I am ill.' And the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven." Where is Zion? It is the chosen place inside of Jerusalem that the Lord declared to be holy to King David. And no one will say, "I am ill." Why? Because they will be completely free. I just wanted to release that into the realm of the Spirit because I know that I know that I know that it will definitely not return void. It will produce that which God has given it. power to produce. Those are the seeds of life he began his day with. And he pressed it into my spirit. And I read it in the Amplified. I read it in the NIV. I said, Lord, no illness. No one will say. Those are seeds. Now, I didn't know about the pomegranate. God didn't tell me he was going to bring one tonight. And you know, God doesn't have to advertise in order to get us ready. Thanks. Because you don't understand sometimes how God will coordinate things that you and I could never conceive. And he puts them together. And then he literally builds upon himself. Because the only rock that we can build on is Jesus. Now that building and that revelation continues to go forward. And we don't always comprehend what's next with us. And we don't understand the fullness of that priesthood. But I can tell you this, our God is not finished with any of us yet. He has not perfected us just to drop us. You say we're perfect already? In him we are. In ourselves, we're still struggling because the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions get involved. How many have a little problem with the mind, will, and emotions? Yeah. Well, my friend Ron sent me a little bulletin, and part of that bulletin said, be careful and pray, because the spirit of offense is hovering over the saints at this time. The spirit of offense will definitely make you and try to make you see everything from a critical standpoint. And he's been doing that with me, with drivers on the road. And I had this wonderful driver this morning. And I don't know if it's a he or she, it's a good thing I don't, because I confess that I was judging both. Didn't matter if it was a male or a female, I was not happy. The speed limit was probably around 40. And they were doing 22, 23, and I wanted to pass. And the spirit of offense had a few little pointers. I'm running late. I began to confess at 22 miles an hour that was more than sufficient. I said, Lord, this is not funny. And the Lord said, I placed that person there for you. I said, thank you, Lord. Will you start confessing your sin of judgment and criticalness that you find so easy to do on the other drivers in Massachusetts, or any other state for that matter, or any country that you're in for that matter? Lord, I am very sorry. He says, how sorry are you? I said, well, I'll take on their sin and I will offer it up to you as an offering. He said, how about you start praising me for the way they are? Now, you've advertised prison to praise and all this good stuff. Why don't you practice what you preach? I said, okay, Lord, that car, that driver in that white car, I'm going to thank you for the way they are this morning. I wish I could adjust them a little bit, but since it is not my job, I will definitely repent quickly, because I am not going to get caught by the spirit of offense. So I continue. He said, Kim, do you understand what's pushing your buttons? Lord, I think I understand, but why don't you educate me, because you can go a lot deeper than me. So I began to confess my sin of anxiety and pressure tactics and control. Yahoo! Get a clue. All of these were having a field day with me. And then there was this wonderful little anger underneath. And it wanted to roar, and it wasn't the Lion of Judah. It really was that other kind of force, you know? And the irritation was seemingly building, because don't forget, we're still driving. And, huh?
Was it screaming, rubbing, as racing?
It was doing a lot of things. I finally said, Lord, this is your doing. And it is marvelous in my sight. And everything in me wanted to scream. Why? Because there was pride there. And the spirit of pride don't like it when I humble myself. So I began to thank the Lord even deeper. I said, Father, I am actually sorry that I find that this person's license should be revoked. I confess my sin, Lord Jesus. And I ask you to pull down these thoughts for me because they're coming very rapidly. And they were just coming in, you know. And if I pounced on one, another one would come. Well, by the time I got to Ludlow, guess what? I had now been really delivering a new level of peace inside of me because the word was coming alive in me and the anger was starting to settle down and the offenses were starting to melt. And I said, oh, thank you, sir. I thank you so much, Lord Jesus. And the peace that surpasses understanding was now starting to be tangibly felt. And I said, do I have the victory? And he says, if you want to stop now, you will. If you want to go deeper, you'll taste a little more. I said, and what else is it? And I had an attitude. You know, what else is it? He said, well, what if it was a woman driver? I pondered on that a little bit. He said, would it be a worse sin if it was a woman driver versus a man? And immediately a thought came in. Well, if it was a man, he wouldn't have driven like that. So you understand, there was another level, another degree of judgment and anger against the opposite sex. Well, here we go now. We're going to have dividing forces against women. Yeah, all Holy Ghost, right? So I again went a little deeper. And I said, Lord, this judgment of women drivers. I said, where does this all come from? He says, will you confess the fear that's in the person? I said, Lord, what do you mean the fear that's in the person? He said, don't you understand they're loaded with fear because they're going 22 miles an hour in a 40, 45 miles an hour zone. What is wrong with you, son? Are you going to take on their sin of fear? I don't want to, Lord, because I'm in a hurry. I'd rather pass the person and get it over with. But there was a no passing sign. And a double white line. Double white line. I could cheat a little. I could probably love to go in the grass a little bit and just zoom on by. And, you know, the angels wouldn't mind. They go fast, don't they? But, you know, all the excuses in the world where God, you know, was taking me was to confess my sin. That this person was full of fear. And then he began to give me some pictures. How many know God loves to give you pictures when you don't want them? He began to show me, what if this person had a major accident 2-3 days ago and they're still shaking, just trying to drive, even doing it afraid? And I said, oh, it could be a believer, Lord. Oh, my God, forgive me, Lord. Oh, no. And now he's got another level. If it's a believer, you know, you repent for them more quickly than a non-believer. I said, God, you're not very funny on this one. He said, did I say that you're supposed to treat the unbeliever differently than you treat the believer? And the storm continued. Why are you laughing? Because you guys do the same, and I know about that. Because we all do it from one level or the other. So I said, Lord, if this person is full of fear, I confess their sin of fear. And I ask that you would release their healing. He says, now will you release your spirit? Because the next level, I don't want you to know anything about. Huh. Don't trust me, Lord. He said, why do you think I gave you that language? So that you could pray on a higher level than your natural mind. That you could intercede with a heart of compassion for the wounded one that you are following. And I began to feel the compassion of the Lord inside of me. And I said, yes, Lord. And I began to intercede. And the more I interceded, more joy, more peace, more warmth inside of me. And by the time I got to the red light, I didn't even care if it was red. Now that's not normal for me. I don't like red lights. I like them green. Yellow's not bad, but green's the best.
Amen.
Really?
Yeah.
You want to go on a trip with the Lord? Watch yourselves. You may be doing the same thing tomorrow. Because you know, God may ordain that you'll practice your priesthood while the drivers are being irritated. Or irritable to you. Purpose of God, just to see what you're going to do. Are you going to speak seeds of life to them? Will you have taken this pomegranate that you held in your hands today? And by the way, it was anointed with this oil. That's why it's so shiny. And I'll tell you something. When the Holy Spirit chooses to do something special, He knows how to touch hearts, doesn't He? I can tell you this. If it was your own child, a grandchild that was driving through 2-3 cars ahead having a fear tactic, and you're following him and her, depending on the sex, it doesn't really matter. Would you have a heart to intercede until they get to their destination? Ah. So you see, you treat a family member differently than even the believer or the non-believer. How ugly we can be in our self-righteous hearts. You see, we have a choice. That pomegranate can stay on that altar, or you can take it into your heart. You can allow the seeds of life that you've already received, allow them to blossom forth, and to declare that in Zion there's no illness. That includes mental illness. That includes emotional illness. In Zion there's perfect peace, for it's the place of the Most High. It's where His presence is so strong and so full that you and I would melt in His presence. May His presence continue to take you home safely. May every driver that's ahead of you get extra prayer this night. May the Holy Spirit counsel you, comfort you, and guard you against the spirit of offense so that you will not go home like you came.